We ding.
Ding. Here we are. We have,
yes,
dear listener, dear reader, dear viewer, we have a special, okay?
This is a Christmas special.
It's a Christmas tree special.
It is. This is the Our Town Has Plenty podcast.
It is,
for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
It is. And Kofi?
Yes, so in order to support us, you can pop online to ko-fi.com/ourtownhasplenty. And I am Kath Fien. This is
Patsy Solanke.
Hello, and we are here with...
John Bonus.
We're with John Bonus.
Yeah.
Now, this is an extraordinary one. So I will be using notes today, dear reader, because we've got some factual information that needs to be quoted verbatim. So, welcome, John. He is our town centre manager, Love Hastings. You're the head of Love Hastings?
So, I manage Love Hastings, which is the business improvement district for the town centre.
Yeah.
And I use the title town centre manager slightly loosely. It sort of describes the role, but it's quite difficult to manage things you don't control. So, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the town that's done by the council, by Southern Water. I don't control that. But I try and steer it, nudge it.
You do.
Coerce it.
Yeah, I've seen you do that. I've seen you do that. And I think what I understand as your job is you're the glue that instead of people working in different directions, you try and bring them all to have something coalesce, if you like, in the middle.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we are elected every 5 years. A lot of people don't realise this, that the bid is something which has to go to a ballot, and local businesses vote every 5 years. The next one will be in around about February 2027.
So you don't self-elect, you are elected.
No, we are elected, which is an interesting point, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm elected this, and I say, well, actually, no, we are. And it means that we sort of have a mandate to speak out on behalf of businesses, because they have signed up to our business plan. We call it a business plan. In political terms, it would be a manifesto. But every 5 years, I say, you know, we produce a document which says, these are the things we want to do with your money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd never hide away from the fact that basically it's a little local tax. People are voting to pay a bit extra on top of their business rates to contribute towards, you know, a lot of things in the town. So we put a lot of money into events.
Yep.
You know, we put a lot of money into Bonfire, Pride, Coastal Currents, Fat Tuesday, a lot of others.
For a town full of events, that's a lot of events.
It is indeed, yeah. So that's a big chunk of the budget. Mm. We do the planting troughs around the town centre. You know, I'm out in the mornings tending those through the summer.
Yeah.
You get me. we run the shop watch scheme as well, so that's the, you know, keeping the shoplifters at bay and generally kind of trying to keep down antisocial behaviour in the town.
That's good.
And then we do Christmas and the Christmas lights.
So
that brings us to the meeting round.
Beautiful segue. Thank you, John. So for those who don't know, because this is not an automatic thing that you're going to know what's been going on in the town, I'm here to paint a picture. So there's plenty of controversy this week in our town. Especially on the socials, I've noticed, being a socials person. There was this, I want to say, a sudden erection of an aluminium Christmas tree in place of the usual real one. Now, on Robertson Street, where the tree is, it's a very windy corridor. And the tree, within a week, usually gets blown about and looks quite tatty within a week.
It's a bit wonky, isn't it?
It is wonky, and people start complaining. So complaining about the tree itself is not unusual. However, we've asked John on because the lovely phrase I've got here is, the less that is said, the more people will invent. And the rumours that are flying around town are many and varied. So John coming on and actually saying exactly what is happening with this tree, why, who, etc. It was important.
Super helpful.
It is super helpful. It lights up. It's computer programmed. Much like Bottle Alley, if you ever go down Bottle Alley and you see that computer program, everyone loves it. But for some reason, this has divided the town. It has wind chimes, which I really quite like. I like a tinkle, me. every Facebook group, though, that I've seen, and some Instagram, are hot on this. And it doesn't matter. As soon as somebody puts a photograph of the tree, any photograph, it garners 100 comments.
Everyone's piling in, aren't they?
So they are. It's literally piling in. So I did a vox pop on Saturday. So we were out on Saturday and I went into town and I couldn't find anybody who'd be willing to say on camera why they didn't like it. I could only find people who were queuing up to say how much they loved it. So I did look, trust me, I looked. Surely somebody doesn't like it. Surely some. No, they all loved it. So I've got these. So I'll just ding in the fact that we're going to put these in this section.
What are your thoughts about the Christmas tree, the new tree in town? It's the new tree in town.
I like it. You like it? You can see it from a distance. Yeah.
You can see it from a distance?
Yeah, it's got personality.
Oh, thank you.
What are your thoughts on our tree?
On the tree, I think it's fabulous. What's not to love?
What is
rather
it?
Than a boring, stupid green one with, you know, red and gold decorations from 10 years ago. No, love it.
You love it.
Love it.
You love it, yes. The brightly lit one with the wind chimes.
Yeah, that would be nice. Also, like, the looks of birds. It's really pretty.
Do you like it?
Yeah, lovely.
I love it. I can't find a naysayer yet. I'm still waiting. Anyone not like
That'll
the tree?
Well.
Okay, what is it you love about the Christmas tree?
It's modern.
It's modern.
Yeah. It's modern. It's got bright lights on it. And it's made out of metal and it was made locally. And it's just different and interesting.
It is, isn't it?
I like it. I like the wind chimes on it as
yes.
well.
Yes. I like it. I'm a bit biased, really, because it's art.
It is art.
I'm just interested in what people have got to say. I haven't found a naysayer yet, so I'm waiting to go upstairs and see.
Oh, there are
loads.
Because it ain't traditional, is it?
I know.
Well, what's traditional about something that only started 100 years ago?
Absolutely. This is true. Hi.
Too much emphasis on tradition, not enough emphasis on
progress.
Quality art.
Yes, quality art.
Let's move forward, not backwards.
Thank you. So, Dave, how do you feel about the Christmas tree? The big, beautiful Christmas tree? I think it's beautiful,
it's
but...
It's a bit straight. It's a bit Bauhaus. A bit minimal for my life.
A bit minimal? Yeah. What would you like on that tree instead?
I don't know, some little animations or something.
Animation? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you in favour or not?
I like it, and I suspect it's better than cutting a tree down, so it's got some environmental practical.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cheers, man.
There's a few more favourable comments from the socials. So it was referred to as a beacon of light, and I know you saw that one because I saw the comment. Brave. It's about time there was something cheerful in the town centre. Wow. Just wow. There were a whole raft of I love it, I love it, I love it. On the whole, comments were very favourable. And people even put polls up, which I thought was really brave.
Wow, really?
And but the big blue band went right across.
Uh-huh.
Not so on the unfavourable. So all the favourable was very much... in that section. People who didn't like it, though, weren't happy to go on record. But they mentioned... their comments were... Just a few I can print, because some of them you couldn't put out on air. A hideous monstrosity. It's dreadful. It's crap. Scrap metal. An eyesore. Taking us back to 1980s Russia, which I did have to laugh at, because I wonder where they were going with that. It's too futuristic. Where is the tradition? Why have we not got that? Even though in Priory Meadow they have the traditional tree. Aliens are landing. David Bowie references, which made me absolutely smile. A friend who I know has lived here all her life, clearly incensed, says, I think it's a total waste of money. Harsh lines, metal and light pollution... tantamount to a disused piece of kit from a fairground, depicting Christmas season as a reminder of the harshness and brutality of living in the world today. With token New Age tinklers as some sort of grotesque meditation vibe in contradiction. The beacon of light, in quotes, as some say, looks like a devil sepulchre reaching from the underworld in a time where we need more softness. Plus, it's ugly. A lady I was standing next to, we were in town on Friday, and there was a woman, God, she was going for it, and she's, I'm sending my friend a photograph, she's in Cambridge, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you don't like it? She said, it's horrible, it's grotesque. So I said, It was made in metalworks on Ponswood. If you look at the banner here, it's got all the information all around the banner here. Funded by government, from what I can see. She said, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, maybe I don't feel so bad about it now. So, but she was surprised to see it, as was your good self. So there's been lots of moaning. But it's art, and as Peter Ustinov, one of my favourites, said, art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. But it's become an art thing, hasn't it, as opposed to a Christmas tree. And art in times of deprivation, John, it can become contentious stuff. So I'll just give you a little bit of a... Before you can... we're going to question you from now. So I'll run you through some questions that actually seemed to summarise what questions were being asked on the social. Mm-hmm. So I've come as a mouthpiece,
that's
if
fine.
You like,
yep.
for the people of the town. So I hope, dear listener, reader and viewer, that I'm asking all the right ones, at least up to date. Okay, how did it come about, John?
It's a bit of a weird one. I mean, I suppose the point you made about windblown previous Christmas trees is the starting point. I mean, 7 years of doing this, ironically, I can only think of one tree we've had that has had the original nice, even shape that people kind of expect, and that was in COVID. And I'm guessing that was maybe because not many towns were putting out Christmas trees that year, so we got a good one.
Yeah.
But even without the wind, what we found is that most trees that we get are that size. There's always a gap, a hole, and a broken branch.
It's a tree.
It's a tree. It's a natural thing.
Yeah.
And people expect that lovely,
uniform shape. Yeah.
Which, ironically, is what you get from artificial trees.
So
people expect their natural trees to mirror the uniformity of artificial ones.
Mm.
Anyway, roll forward to... levelling up in 2023, I think the money was allocated.
Mm.
And Hastings was presented with a £20 million funding package from central government.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of work done by the council and by the men from the ministry who came down and kind of tried to get under the skin of the town. So they went and spoke to lots of people.
Right.
And I was one of them. So it was basically a coffee with two guys from... You know, two civil servants. And they just asked me, you know, how does the town work? What goes on? What are your problems? I ran through all sorts of stuff. So it was broken paving and problems with Southern Water and you know, all the rest of it. And one of the things I dropped into the conversation was the state of the Christmas tree and, you know, a bit of just a punt. Well, you know, maybe we could, you know, it'd be nice if we did have a big artificial one.
Mm.
Didn't think anything more of it until about, I don't know, 2 months later. And I got an email saying, here's your Christmas tree, buddy. I tell a slight fib. They said, here's your cherry picker money, because one of the other things I suggested was that there's a lot of work that needs to be done high up around the town centre.
Yeah.
A lot of building owners who struggle to find the money to just empty, clear a gutter because it's so high up. So if we had the kit to be able to get round and do that for people, then it would you know, save building, save money. So primarily they said, here's the money for a cherry picker.
Yeah.
I went back to them and said, that's lovely, but do you know how much it costs to run a cherry picker?
Ah,
I'm not cheap.
You've got to have men as well.
You've got to have people trained to run it. You've got to have, they've got to be serviced very regularly.
Yeah.
You've got to be stored. It's an expensive thing to run.
It's an expensive plant as well.
Precisely, yeah. Yes, it's an expensive thing to buy, expensive thing to run.
Yeah.
And they were very clear, sorry, this money can't be used for people. It's got to be, it's capital money. So it's got to be used, it's got to be used
that's
for...
That's a lovely upfront that thinks can be spent on them.
Exactly, So anyway, we toyed around with the idea of the chair picker to see if it was practical. After a few months, we realised it wasn't. So second line on the email, that Christmas tree. So that's where we start the story.
Now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, that's really clear. How much? This is the thorn.
Okay, yep.
How much did it actually cost?
Came in just a smidgen under 45,000 for the tree itself.
Yep.
But then there's some extra little costs, you know, the water ballast, so a few extra thousand. So we got 45,000 from the fund.
Water bowls making it stable.
That's it. The big presents around the bottom. Yep. So each one of those.
People have been speculating about what's in them.
Yeah. It's water. Which obviously in times of drought maybe we could make use of.
Yeah.
Because Southern Water take note. That puts a ton of weight on each leg, which is there to stabilise it because it's designed to be a freestanding structure.
Yeah.
In case it ever needs to be put somewhere else.
Yeah.
We've got the town centre regeneration plans coming, so it might be that in future years we have to move it to slightly different locations depending on how they design that area.
Of course.
So yeah, that's the. I think 40,000 figures been flying around, but 45 is the closer to accurate one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who funded it specifically?
Specifically, all of that came from, that 45,000 came from Levelling Up. So that central government department for housing something in communities, I forget, what DLUP, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the money came from.
Yeah, no, because we spoke previously and you mentioned about the A21, mm-hmm. Levelling Up with the A21,
because
that frustrated a lot of people, didn't
Indeed.
It? So that took another big chunk that of
was,
that.
So the okay, so
it's
the,
things, not people.
Yeah, absolutely. So the total fund, total Levelling Up fund that we're talking about, and this is a good thing of way of putting that 45,000 into context, was 20 million.
Right.
So
yeah.
£20 million is how much the council got given, or the borough got given, I should say, because it went to different projects.
Mm.
A lot of people have said that money should be spent on homing people, housing people. Mm. Well, actually, £13 million of that £20 million went on exactly that.
Right.
So it was homelessness initiatives, if I can get my tongue around that.
Yeah.
It was permanent housing projects.
Yeah.
And the A21.
Where can we see those homeless projects? Where can we see them?
Couldn't answer that question.
So if somebody wanted to come and ask you that question, could you find out?
I'm sure I could probably try and find out. So it's a question for the council.
Yeah.
I mean, they that was money that they would have spent.
Yeah.
Spent. Yeah.
So that's a council thing.
Yeah. So, but the A21 got, I think, £1.5 million, £2 million, something like that.
Yeah.
It's probably cost a lot more than that, I think, now the way that one's dragging on. But yeah, so that's where the money came from. And that's the in the context of how much money there was in total, 20 million, we got 45,000 for the trade.
And that can all be accounted for, all that money?
Oh, what, the 20 million?
Yeah.
I would assume so.
Yeah. So, okay. So, were local, more people-based projects or budgets impacted?
No, as I said, because the nature of the fund, it couldn't have gone to a people-based project.
Yep.
I suppose arguably you could say that, well, not even arguably, realistically, you can say that it has gone to people because it's gone to the people who made it, and those are local people.
Yeah.
So that is money that came into the town from outside.
Yep.
It went to a local firm who employs several local staff, all of whom have families. All of whom are now able to go and buy nicer Christmas presents for their families in local shops, which those shops employ local staff who have to be paid, and they get paid because they sell goods and products.
Yeah.
So that 45,000 now circulating in the local economy will multiply out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the I'd looked at this up years ago. I should have remembered it, but I think it's every pound that's injected into a local economy multiplies itself by 10. So
right.
that so because every, you know when every time somebody spends the money, it doesn't disappear; it goes on to the next person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So over
it's
the course,
paid forward, isn't
So over the course of a year, that 45,000 gradually it filters out because people pay mortgages and things like this. So there's money goes to the but if people are spending that money locally, then it multiplies and multiplies.
Sure. Did HBC pay any money into this?
Not directly, but they have reinitiated a small grant that they've given us every year except for last year, which is around about £8,000. But that's not for the tree, it's just for the general lighting scheme. So, they match fund what we put into the Christmas lights to the tune of a maximum of about £8,000. So that grant has been reinstated this year, but as I say, it's not specifically for the tree, it's just for the general lighting scheme.
Do you know what that one's called, that grant?
It's just a little one-off, it's just the Christmas lights contribution.
Because people moan if we don't have the lights up, don't they?
They certainly will.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had lights. I mean, I think the town's had lights in living memory. It goes back. There's always been lights there. There would have been a time when the council would have paid for those, but I think I mean, my predecessor, who was the town centre manager, but manager paid for it a different way before the bid started. You know, he fundraised through local businesses to get that to get the lights up, and yeah, we've continued that tradition. Obviously, you know, I mentioned the vote. If the vote goes no in 2027, the lights will go off.
Yeah.
You know, that will be the end of it because nobody else is going to fund them.
No, mm-hmm. No, fair play.
And by the vote, you mean members voting to remain in the business improvement district?
Yeah, basically, yeah. So there's about 450 businesses in the area. Geographically, it's from some of the council offices to the pier and up to Morrison's and the Yard.
Right.
So
okay.
Every business in that area gets the opportunity to bid, to vote, sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Love Hastings, this was another one that was floated around. Love Hastings paid for it.
Only in the sense that...
Love Hastings being those businesses inside the bid.
Only in the sense that my time is paid for as, you know, as project manager, but that's not, but I'm being paid anyway. So, sure. Yeah, that's the only sense in which we've paid anything into it, over and above what we would normally spend on Christmas lights. So, so the guys that actually put the lights up are the ones who put the tree up, and it took him a little bit longer, but it wasn't a tremendous amount longer. So within the budget that
comes within the budget,
exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's all covered. Yeah. People will say we've covered this kind of, but it could have been supported by homeless shelters, which you've already covered. So that wasn't possible with this fund. You've already highlighted that. So when it came to consultation, who was consulted? Was anyone consulted about this? Because this is another thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why did we not know about it? Why was this not public consultation?
Aren't Christmas presents supposed to be a surprise? What did you want to do? Peer into the...
So you wanted it to be a surprise? Yes,
we did. We wanted it to be a surprise. Okay. That was... you know,
but
at the same time, we didn't make any secret of it. So because obviously, you know, a lot of people did know. You know, the people who were building it, people who designed it knew about it. Nobody was sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
But we just didn't make a big thing because, you know, it's nice to have a surprise at Christmas.
Yeah.
I thought. And I did speak to a small group of local artists. I put the call out. Anybody who's on Hastings Creatives, I put the call out on Hastings Creatives to say, this is the project that we're looking to do. Is anyone interested? So that was actually quite a wide ranging group of people
massive.
That have been aware of it right from the outset. And we did get a few creatives come forward. We sat and had a few meetings. Nothing formal, you know, chat around the table in the pub kind of thing.
Mm.
Toyed around with some ideas, concepts, shapes, materials. The conclusion was, that's too big a project for someone who's just a carpenter, a small sole trader. There's all sorts of insurance issues around putting up something that big in a public place. So the sort of parting shot from that conversation was, well, if there's a material that's the best sort of material for something of this size in terms of strength to weight and everything else, then aluminium's the obvious one to go for. And it just happened that I was aware of the fact that we have got a very well respected aluminium manufacturer in town who, it turned out, having approached him about this, actually built a massive Christmas tree for Selfridges out of aluminium a few years ago. So the central kind of foyer, not foyer, but the bit between the elevators, the escalators in the middle of the middle of the store, that was a floor to ceiling aluminium Christmas tree made in Hastings.
There we are, incredible. So that's fantastic. So the people then, it became an engineering project rather than an art project. So did it all stay in-house or did somebody else from somewhere else
the only external body was an engineering they're basically the people who check your homework.
Structural engineering.
So the initial design is done by the company that I've gone to.
Yeah.
They then go and get that homework checked because I could, I wouldn't if they just come to me with some drawings and said, "Is that all right? How would I know?"
You wouldn't know. Yeah.
So this is where you go to a third party, completely independent, who runs it all through computer modelling. Does all sorts of tests and will come back with, you need to do this, you need to do that. This is if the wind goes above this level, you need to, add extra ballast, all of those kind of things.
Yeah, risk assessment.
Exactly. And that's actually where probably a fairly significant percentage of the money did go.
Yeah.
You know, hands
to make
hands
it
up.
Safe, isn't it?
Precisely, yeah. So it's, you know, because it's a one-off. You know, it's not an off-the-shelf product. Mm. You know, it's something that, you know, you will not see one anywhere else in the world because we've had it designed bespoke for us.
So now that, but is it also reusable? Have I heard that right?
It is, of course. I mean, it's almost infinitely reusable, mm. just exactly as it is. You right. know, because of the you know. Aluminium will last, it'll outlive all of us.
Yeah.
So as long as it's stored safely, and we've got free storage from good old Offer Fair, who've given us the space to store it each year,
nice.
We could just mothball it, and then 11 months later, take it out again, put it up. However, I've had quite a few people come to me already and say, "Ooh, can you dress that up as a space rocket?" Mm-hmm. So there might be a themed festival or something nice. Where they want something centrepiece for to entertain the kids in the summer. Yeah. It's not about the lighting, but it's about the shape. Mm-hmm. So we could rent it out to a festival who wanted to use it for something like that. Mm-hmm. Somebody suggested a wrap-around 360-degree DJ tower.
Yeah.
You know, put a at the level of the...
Because it's strong enough for humans.
It, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it'll take the weight. You could hang speakers off the top of it. You could put it in the middle of the field and have people dancing all around it.
Yeah, you heard it. So whatever you're doing, whether it's Pride or any festivals, because, Lord, it's not like we don't have a festival here.
True. Yeah.
It could be used.
It could be used for all sorts of things. You might just need something to put... working lights on. It's there to be used. People can use their imaginations, look at the central core structure and go, I could do that with it, and just come another word. And if it's a local thing, obviously we try and do that at virtually no cost, you know, maybe just a bit of money for moving it around and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if it goes out of town, the money comes in.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm interested now in the design and what bits are fixed and what bits you could move and what other shapes you could make out of it. But that's for another day.
That's over. We can easily produce a little web page that shows, you know, this bit comes off. This is how this bit goes up. You know, a lot of it's hoisted up by chains, so you can do virtual.
Because we saw the cranes; they were advertising it on the day, weren't they? Look at us.
Absolutely. The only bit that you need from the point of view of the lights in terms of the crane to get up there, the cherry picker to get up there, is just making the final electrical connections on the top section, because the bottom section gets raised up to it. So you just need to go up and plug them in.
Yes.
But it's a short job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're back to the old thorny sort of cost. So people who say, like I mentioned earlier about the that amount of money that could have been invested in the town.
Mm-hmm.
What projects are around or imminent where they could go and get support? Because this is not, this is capital funding.
Mm-hmm.
So for something which is, what would it not be if it's not capital?
It's revenue. That's
revenue.
The opposite, yeah.
There
so
we go.
Human resource, people-based stuff is revenue, and shovel-ready is what they were saying when Levelling Up came to town, is capital. So, and they wanted projects that were ready to go, which is another part of the... issue is any struggling organisation that does need their building renovated would need to have had plans in place already to be at a certain level to then be able to capture that money as well. So there are a lot of constraints.
Absolutely, 100%.
That's really good to hear that, because people assume that these budgets are just like their own home budgets. Oh, well, money comes in, so I can use the money for anything, and it's exactly what a budget is, but. These come out of different pots for different reasons, and they specify where they must be spent.
Yeah.
So you can't use health in education. You can't use the police budgets in ambulance services. You can't do that. You've got to be very specific if you're talking about government. So
where is the revenue?
What's up and coming?
Yeah.
So, what hopefully everybody has heard of, but I know a lot of people haven't, is what's now called Pride in Place. So it was called the, I think originally it was called the Future Towns, I forget, it was a while ago. It's been through three name changes.
Mm-hmm.
It was Neighbourhood Fund, I think was another one.
Okay.
But the government have now rebadged it as Pride in Place. Now this is... for those who aren't aware, this is £20 million, another £20 million, but this is spread over 10 years.
When did it start?
So it started in terms of a concept about probably 2 years ago now, so at least 18 months ago. But, stop-start because of the election, general elections and everything else. So we won't actually see the first full tranche of money until April next year.
However,
I believe, it was announced a little while ago that we were one of the towns who received £750,000 as a sort of pump prime extra pot of money, which has been spent this year. Yep. I'm not quite sure, I'm not aware at the moment what that's been spent on or planned to be spent on, but that was announced a couple of months ago.
Right.
And then there's another £750,000 on top of the first £2 million that we get for next year. So next year we get £2 million from the main private place fund plus another £750,000.
Now, just jargon bust a minute. So pump prime meaning...
Pump prime meaning, I don't know, it's just upfront, get yourself started, quick wins. Right.
A bit like seed funding.
Just get on with it. Right.
Gotcha.
And revenue capital split, so people versus buildings, is... It was initially announced as being 25-75, so 25% revenue, 75% capital.
Ooh.
That's now changed to, I was told, 30%, 70%.
Okay.
But I've read a different figure, which is slightly more for revenue. So it's around about, basically it's around about 30% of the total pot can be used for revenue projects.
Mm.
So that's, what's that, 600,000 a year? Something like that,
Okay. So people can apply for that?
They should be able to, but I'm not sure what the mechanism is yet.
Okay.
So the plan, if people had a leaflet through their door, everybody should have done, but I think Royal Mail dropped a ball, and I know I got four
I've
leaflets.
I've not seen any.
No. So you didn't get any because I got four. So I know they only printed enough to go one each. So something happened in the sorting office, meaning that not everybody got their leaflets, but there was lots of stuff online. So there was, I think, 4,000 people responded to consultation one way or another, saying here are the things we would like to see the money spent on.
Yeah.
That was translated into a spending plan, which the board, and it's an independent board, it's got councillors on it, but they're in the minority.
Right.
So that board, it's led by Kevin Borman, he won't, it's fine for him to say that because he's Mr. Hastings.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Kevin. So he's chairing that board, and that plan went on deadline end of last week. To government, they now assess that, and if they've got any questions about it, they'll come back. But if it's all as it should be, we'll see the first tranche of money, spring next year.
And this is different to the town deal.
Totally different town deal. Town deal is the money that is paying for currently the castle project and also for the £10 million town centre regeneration project called Green Connections. That's been going for a good long time. We're well past the original spending deadline for that, but the government relaxed it because they just appreciated that these are complex projects which take time. But as I say, the mechanism for bidding for the Pride in Place money hasn't been announced yet. And I think it may be that there's a combination of commissioning and bidding. So it may be that the board actually decides amongst themselves, we want to spend it on this specific thing, and therefore puts out a call and says, who would bid to do this thing, build this thing, or staff this project? Or it may be that they sit back entirely and just wait for ideas to come in. So I'm not sure yet which way that's going to go. But one way or another, there should be local decisions. And the interesting thing about it is that, unlike what you were saying about the way that normal grant funding goes, it's only for health, it's only for whatever. It's almost a completely open book. There's a massive list of things which the government have put in that say are pre-approved.
Right.
I won't even start to go through them, but it's pretty much anything you can think of, to be honest.
That's good.
So anything which fits into any of those categories doesn't need a business plan, doesn't need to be justified.
Mm.
As long as local people think it's a good idea, then it can be funded. If you do come up with something completely wacky, like a Christmas tree. Somebody wants to do another one.
It's bought now. It's bought. It's paid for. It's down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but Sylvia might want one. Or might want one. If you did come up with something slightly crazy that was outside of the spending profile the government put up, you can still put an idea forward.
Mm-hmm.
It would just need to have a business case. Mm-hmm. I.e., it's worth spending on this because if we spend it on that, it'll generate.
Yes.
Something good.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure, sure.
So I guess just so that Kevin doesn't end up with a load of emails and Facebook notes following this, there's probably somewhere that people can write to. Would it be the council to find out more?
There's a generic email address which it's got people behind it.
We'll put that underneath.
No
worries.
Nice
one.
Cool. Great.
So this conversation will go on and on, John. and it will probably go on irrespective of us putting all the facts out there, and it may not be what other people want to hear. But thank you so much for clearing up.
That's fine.
Everything for us.
I mean, just to add, I mean, the point you made about it being an art project, it was never an art project.
No.
But the crazy thing is, the slightly, maybe ironic thing is, it's almost become an art project because of the controversy.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, you know, I read an article, you know, after the fact, when this conversation started, I sort of thought, you know, what is public art? What is, you know, what's the history of controversial public art? And I found a lot of articles saying public art is meant to be controversial. It's meant to make people feel a bit uncomfortable. You know, sort of shift opinions and get people talking.
Yep.
So
inspired
it's this crazy situation where we've got an art project without an artist.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a town centre manager who commissioned a project and an engineer who came out with the design, and we've ended up with what a lot of people are calling a piece of art.
Piece of art.
Yeah.
John Cage said, "I can't understand why people are afraid of new ideas. I'm frightened of the old ones," which I think is lovely, coming from the man who invented 4 minutes, 33 seconds of silence, which I think is the best thing ever.
Absolutely. And I'm just contextualising... Sorry to drag
no,
that.
No, go.
Yeah, contextualising the money again, because I think it's really important to get everything in context.
Yeah.
If you look at public art commissions and how much they cost for sculpture-type things...
Oh, gosh.
There's one just been done, which has been widely publicised in Hastings. The call was put out with the amount of money available for it, so it's no secret.
Mm.
But as part of Green Connections, an artist not from Hastings has been commissioned to spend £90,000 on a public art piece just around the corner.
Yeah.
Through the museum.
So that's one context. And another is I looked up the price of a piece of, you know, buying an aluminium stage made in the same way that this is made, because it's made out of the kind of fabrication that's used to build outdoor stages at festivals. Yeah. And an 8 metre by 10 metre stage, and this is a 10 metre high tree, so it's approximate.
Mm.
Off the shelf will cost you £65,000.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, in a sense, we've got a bit of a bargain. But I totally appreciate a lot of people out there. The amount of money we're talking about is enormous.
Yeah.
But in context of public schemes, public projects, it's really not that much.
No.
I do have a question before we finish.
Yes.
Which is how is business doing in Hastings at the moment?
Very good.
As you know, the Business Improvement District, which is what the BID is. So BID is a confusing word because people bid for money, and it's also the Business Improvement District, which is what we're talking about here. And I believe, as a small enterprise, you can join, or as a large one. Is that correct? How does it work?
Yeah, basically, everybody becomes a member if we get a majority vote. Right. So it's an automatic membership, assuming you get a majority, and it's a majority on two scores. So it's a straightforward how many people voted, and off that number of people who voted, how many voted yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you also have to win on a second count, which is you add up the rateable values of all the businesses who vote, and you have to get a majority by rateable value as well as by number. So the easiest way to describe that, because it's a bit complicated, is if only three people voted, three businesses voted, two small ones and one large one, so maybe two with £10,000 rateable value and one with £100,000 rateable value.
Yeah.
If the two small ones vote yes, but the big one votes no, then you lose.
Yeah.
Because of where you've got a majority of 2-1, the £100,000 outweighs the £20,000. So that's the way that works. How are people doing? It is tough. I mean, it's tough all around. It's a national, sort of global problem at the moment. Mm. You know, cost of living is a disaster that is happening. And, of course, we've just seen the results of the budget, and I've seen the analysis of that showing how much extra cost is going to be lumped onto hospitality businesses. So pubs and hotels are going to be absolutely hammered if the government doesn't take a back step and, you know, make some changes, which they are allowed to do in law. But it's tens, hundreds of thousands of pounds for some, you know, hotels particularly are going to be hit particularly badly.
Right. Considering we've got the Premier that's just opened.
Exactly, there's the irony there. Mm. However, there's an interesting thing that cropped up the other day. I was asked by a councillor, what's the change in the number of empty shops over the last year or two? Now, when the prize in place money, whatever it was called back then, was first kicked around, part of the thought process there was that it, money could be spent on high streets to get shops back into use. I mean, you can't buy a business into a shop, but you can give incentives and encouragements and improve the area around it to make it more likely that you'll get let. Mm. So we did I did a survey study back then, and it was a full list of all of the empty shops in the town with their rateable values, their size, and the rent amounts, and that kind of thing. So I had that to go by as a touchstone from about 18 months ago.
Mm.
And being asked this question, I thought, well, okay, it won't take me long to go around and update that. So I went around to sort of see, which of those is still empty, which other, how many, if they're full, who's in it, and have any other ones come empty. And what I was surprised about, I think most people would be surprised about, is there were two less empty shops now than there were 18 months ago.
Because you wouldn't know that if you listened to social media, forgive me for saying about this, but a lot of people get their information from social media.
Yeah.
They don't go out and look for themselves. They don't look with their own eyes. They instantly think someone shouted loudly and very confidently, ipso facto, that is it. Mm-hmm. It is true.
Yeah.
So that's really good to know.
Absolutely. What people, I think what is leading people, I was surprised by it.
Yeah.
But what leads people to think that things are worse than they have been in the past is the length of time that some of the larger stores have been empty. So now that Peacock's has been empty for so long, the old Argos has been empty for so long.
Yeah.
The old Debenhams, Owens, remains empty.
Yeah.
Is that another
conversation for another day?
I think it could well be.
I think it really needs to, John, because I think that we'd love to open that one up and find out more about that, because that's a whole new can of worms, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Bless your heart for coming in today. No, I know you're a really busy guy, but I think what this might have done is given some people some clarity on what was much needed across the board.
Cool.
Really
but you've been brilliant. Thank you, John.
No problem at all.
Our town has plenty of controversy, but plenty of goodwill.
Indeed, cheers. Yeah. To all men, even if you don't like the tree.
Cheers, John. So, John, one of the biggest issues is people say, it looks great at night, but I'm not down here at night. I'm down here during the day. And it looks pretty bleak because the lights don't work because they're digital. They're not obvious for you to see. They can hear the tinkles, as we call them, but they can't. What's happening with that?
Well, I mean, I suppose the first thing to say is, Christmas lights on lampposts have got the same problem.
Exactly.
You only really see the impact at night.
Yeah.
And secondly, if you do want to see a big tree in the daytime, all you have to do is walk around the corner to Priory Meadow, and there's a tree that's almost as big, and it's natural.
It's very beautiful.
Exactly, and it's got the lights on it, but again, you don't see the lights much during the day. But if you want to see a tree during the day, you can go there.
Yeah.
I do like the people who say it's not a real tree. Well, I always say to them, you walk into it, you'll see how real it is.
Yeah.
But, no, in all seriousness, the criticism of it looks a bit stark during the day.
Mm.
Totally take that on board. And we always did have a feeling that would be the case. But it's one of these things, until you actually see it up, just looking at the drawings and seeing reality are two different things.
Mm.
So the drawings, we thought we might get away with it, but we've accepted the fact that it looks like it does need something to kind of bulk it out a little bit, add a bit of colour and interest during the day. So maybe in response to some of the lovely characters in the local pub who, when we first put it up, showed, where's the baubles? We're going to try and put some baubles or something like it on.
Yeah,
it's obviously about getting scale. There's no point in hanging little things that you'd have on your house Christmas tree or something that size.
Yeah.
So we need things which are 30, 40 centimetres diameter, that don't add too much to the way of wind loading, but just give it give it a bit of colour and a bit of body during the day.
Yeah, and won't fly off in the winds. Yeah.
So, we're tidying up the base. I'm going to get some AstroTurf around the base just to kind of make that a bit nicer. Mm. We're screening off the bottom of the trunk. It's got the cables in, just to tidy that up.
Mm.
But yeah, we'll get up into it and hang a few things off it.
Oh, I love that.
And probably this year, the complaint we'll get is that maybe they're a bit plain.
Yeah.
So because we're not going to have time to get them properly decorated, it's difficult to buy things like that off the shelf.
Mm.
So we'll probably spray them gold, silver, whatever. But this is another part of the ongoing part of the project.
I love that.
people said, well, you know, look, a bit boring for the same tree every year. But actually, the tree is a framework for potentially all sorts of different things to be added to it.
You could do all sorts, couldn't you?
A bit like the effigy. A bit like the bonfire effigy, yeah. So it could be, so we could come up, you know, put out a call every year and say, who can, you know, give us a theme. Or, you know, or if you're an art group, you know, what, you know, show, give us
you
a design.
You can see people's faces on these big discs spinning around in the light.
Who knows? But yeah, but it would be, you know, clearly, obviously, the actual programming of the lights can change every year. So, you know, I mean, I could change them every day if I wanted to, but every year we could, you know, put a completely new set of presets in. And, it, you know, interestingly, in terms of the interest that this has had, I've had a call just this morning or a message on Facebook from an American lighting manufacturer, stage lighting manufacturer, one of the biggest in the world, saying they've got a client who wants to do something very similar in terms of the LED controls, using the controller that we've got in there, and has asked us for, you know, advice on how we did it.
How hilarious. We're Hastings on the South Coast, and we're getting... international interest.
Absolutely,
on it. Yeah. Do you still love Christmas trees now? Did you before?
Talk to my wife. I am the biggest Grinch on the planet. John, it's time to get the Christmas tree out. It's time. My heart sinks. And then it's going to be put away again at the end. My heart sinks. But step out the door and... It's a different world.
Oh, yes. No, the tree.
Right. That's amazing.
The tree's amazing.